The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAW FM. That's Voice of Wits. We're broadcasting live from our studios in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mdio Mob Justice Gavaz and I'll be your host on today's show. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, according to a study by McKinsey & Co., women hold only 38% of manager level positions. Although more and more companies are adding more women to their C-suite and recognizing their value, the number of women in leadership positions is still underrepresented. How can society and companies get to achieve gender parity? As we are still in Women's Month, we aim to highlight some of these important conversations. Now, to help us to navigate this topic, today we're going to be talking to Hope Ditlakanyane, who is the founder of Superwoman Hub and a venture partner at MEST Africa, all about her upcoming virtual conference called Women in Africa. And then after that, we're going to be talking to Tinyiko Simbine, who is the CFO and co-founder of A Girl Code South Africa, about the importance of underrepresentation of women in the tech space. Tinyiko is actually a panelist at the Women in Africa conference. Now, that's looking like it's going to be a good show. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be getting into the business wrap. That's where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business economics news. And then we also get into the Buffalo Index, where we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. Now, remember that you can find us. We are Voice of Vits on Facebook or VAW FM. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAW FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Remember that you can also stream us live on vowfm.co.za, and remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and also Spotify, together with great content that is available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So that's how the show is looking like. Definitely make sure you don't turn that dial. Coming up next, we do get into the business wrap.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
We now look back at the 2 weeks top trending business and economics news in our Business Wrap, and we're joined on the line by our financial expert, Ken Sweatman. Ken, greetings to you. What's been going on this week?
Well, the two big stories which I think hang out for me, I mean, there's been lots, obviously, in the economic news, but the two that stand out for me, which may interest your listeners because they could possibly affect your listeners or people they know, is the fact that South Africans have got themselves much deeper into debt as a result of the coronavirus lockdown. And that's mainly because banks and service providers and people who give credit have been giving these coronavirus payment relief schemes, which is really nice if you don't have to pay your debt or you have paying a smaller amount. But what they're doing is that they are adding on interest onto this outstanding debt while you're not paying it. So although it's a relief from a month-to-month payment option, it's actually increasing your debt. And South Africans have gone deeper into debt as a result of the coronavirus and these so-called payment relief schemes. And in fact, we are as a country drowning in debt. And the second thing, which is a concern, certainly to somebody like myself working in the financial services industry, and there was a big article in the Sunday Times this past Sunday, is the fact that the government is considering, they've actually got a discussion paper out, and they're considering forcing pension and provident funds to invest up to 25% of their assets into infrastructure development, is how they term it, or government-approved schemes. And I've had many of my clients contact me with great concerns about this. It's nothing that's law yet, it's nothing that's happening yet, but it's on the government radar that they're trying to access our pension and provident funds, and that will be of a great concern to the average South African who will rely on this money for retirement in years to come.
Ken, just as a follow-up to that last one, the mandating a certain portion of pension funds to be invested in some of these infrastructure projects, is this what they call the prescribed assets?
that's 100% correct. It's the term they use is prescribed assets. In other words, the government will prescribe to pension funds on how they must invest a portion of their assets. At the moment, investment is regulated in terms of Regulation 28 of the Pension Funds Act, whereby pension and provident funds are limited by what they can invest in certain asset classes. For example, they can't invest more than 30% into offshore funds and more than 75% into local equity funds. But the government are proposing to possibly tweak that regulation to force a certain investment into government-approved projects. And of course, it's not clear. As I said, it's not law. It hasn't been happened yet, but it is on the radar. And of course, people are saying that this is a way of government grabbing more of our private money. The pension fund industry is worth trillions, not billions, but trillions of rand in this country, and getting more money sucked possibly into our very poor performing state-owned enterprises. And it worries the average South African, myself included, I might add, and who are going to rely on our pensions literally to live once we reach old age, and the returns on these so-called prescribed assets may not be what we would like our pension fund returns to be. So it is something I believe as South African, every South African needs to keep an eye on this developing story going forward, sir.
And then perhaps lastly, sort of following on with this financial services theme, what do you make of some of these cyber attacks that have been facing both the banking and sort of asset management industry? I saw recently Momentum faced a cyber attack, and then now we're hearing that Standard Bank, FNB, and a bunch of credit providing institutions, you know, faced a big cyber attack. Do you think, you know, as we become more and more digital, that these are some of the dangers that we're just going to have to come to terms with?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't consider myself an IT expert by any stretch of the imagination. But again, most of us as South Africans are using these services. The financial services companies, you mentioned Momentum, and unfortunately Liberty was also just over a year ago the victim of a cyber attack. We've now had rumors that 24 million South Africans' personal details, ID numbers and names, addresses, have been compromised through the banking and the credit card system. I personally got an email yesterday of one of my credit card companies saying that this had happened, and it wasn't the banks or the credit cards themselves. It was actually a credit bureau, which the banks and credit cards uses that was attacked. South Africa, I understand, is the third highest country in the world for cyber attacks, and we really need to be concerned, and we need to hope that our banks and our financial service providers are using their IT expertise to protect our personal information. That's all we can hope for, is that our chosen service providers are doing that for us, because as an individual, there's very little we can do if these attacks happen and our personal information gets into the wrong hands. All I can say to your listeners is be careful. If you see anything where you believe your personal information has been compromised, you contact your service provider immediately and let them know. And just be very careful if you get calls or emails purporting to be from a service provider, because they may not be. And you've just got to look out and be very, very aware and on the ball, particularly at this time.
So that was it in terms of our business wrap for today with Ken Sertanem, just giving us an insight into some of the week's top stories. You know, just giving us some insight into what's going on with this ongoing debate around prescribed assets in South Africa, and just ending off talking about, some of the cyber attacks that have affected financial institutions, warning people to just make sure that they stay safe online. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Rap with Ken Sweatman. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
In our Buffalo Index for today, we are talking about what it means to be connected digitally. And since we are talking about a women's conference that is happening virtually, we decided to find out what does it actually cost to have, methods of payments, or how much is it going to cost to get yourself signed up and registered on some of the world's top video conferencing platforms. Because conferences nowadays, together with meetings, are all happening on Zoom, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams and the like. Now, to begin with, there is Zoom, which has become the undoubted most popular video conferencing platform in the world since lockdowns began, and that will set you back about 2.5 buffaloes at 260 rand. Microsoft Teams, it starts off, we're talking about basic packages here. This is just a disclaimer. We're talking about starting prices because they do escalate quite a bit. So Microsoft Teams, that one is called Microsoft 365 Basic, Business Basic, which was formerly called Office 365 Business Essentials, is coming up for just under one buffalo at 91 rand a month. But the caveat there is that you have to commit for a year. The other example or the other alternative is Google Meet, and that's coming in for just over one buffalo per month. That's 103 rand per month using the current exchange rates. So that's how much it will cost for you to sign up for the paid versions of these different platforms. But they do have some alternatives, because for example, Zoom does have a free version, but it does come with some limitations on it. For example, with the highest tier of Zoom, you can have more than 1,000, you can have up to 1,000 people on a call, you know. So if you're thinking about doing a lecture with 400 students, etc., you would definitely need to have that particular version. That's gonna cost you way more. But the free version costs nothing, but it does have a limit of, I think, 100 participants. But more importantly, it has a 40-minute time limit, after which a person has to restart the whole thing, which can be quite an inconvenience, especially if you're in a business environment. Google Meet also has a free option, and that one is coming in, and it has a one-hour limit on its time. And then Microsoft Teams seems to have an unlimited time in terms of its free version. So yes, that's what the paid versions look like in terms of that, but as we're highlighting, there are free versions that are available. So that's been it for this week's business buzz Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into the Women in Africa conference.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. More justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our main topic for today, and we're going to be talking about the Women in Africa conference. And before we begin, though, we do remind you that you can find us on Facebook. That is VAW FM or Voice of Wits. You can also find the Wits Radio Academy. You can also find us on Twitter. That is at VAW FM, and our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Now it's time for us to get into the Women in Africa conference and the role of women in leadership positions, particularly in the tech space. The number of women in senior positions in business has grown and has proven that the value and diversity they bring is good for those businesses. Beyond business, there has been a rise in the number of women collaborating and building ecosystems in the form of women empowerment organizations and society to help them find solutions to some of the world's problems. One of our guests that we're about to talk to today is one of those women who aims to connect high impact women across Africa through an ecosystem enabler called a Superwoman Hub. So we are happy to have Hope Ditlakanyane, who is no stranger to us, because she featured on our show a few months ago. She is a venture partner at MEST Africa, but for today she is wearing the hat of the founder of the Superwoman Hub. Hope, good evening to you.
Evening. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always good to be here.
I think just as a jumping off point, as we said, today you are wearing a different hat. Can you tell us a little bit about the Superwoman Hub, and you know, who are you guys? How did the ecosystem come about? What are you guys aiming to achieve?
No, sure. So I like to call it my 5 to 9 a.m. because it's something that I really do, because I'm super passionate about. So the Superwoman Hub is an ecosystem builder for women leaders across Africa. And essentially what we do is we partner with organizations that are interested in driving gender inclusion, and then we work with them to create programs to this mandate. and we also manage a very strong online community of Pan-African women. So currently in our community, there's women from Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, and here in South Africa as well. And we just share a lot of resources and knowledge to help them in the course of their leadership journey. So in a nutshell, that's what Super Women Hub does. And this really started by the realization when I was in corporate that there's not enough safe spaces for women to show up as their authentic selves and through that thrive in the corporate and broader society. In corporate, we see this through the concept of the glass ceiling, where a lot of institutions will have a large junior complement of women, but then as you go higher and higher in the hierarchy, there's less and less women represented. But then in the context of the tech space, as you were alluding to earlier on, there's about $2 billion that was channeled in equity investments to tech startups across the African continent, but less than 13% of those went to women-owned businesses. So I'm really, really passionate about challenging the status quo around this issue and really partnering up with different organizations as well as allies to be able to really drive this mandate of true gender equality in our lifetime.
Perhaps as a follow-up to what you've just said, what does an engagement with an organization, a company, a business actually look like when you go in to perhaps put in some type of program to address some of these issues?
So what we do is we really make sure that we partner with organizations who have the same values but also the same vision, and we kind of try to understand what is their CSI strategy. So then we then tailor make a program aligned to that particular CSI strategy, but more importantly to the different skills as well as resources that organization has at their disposal. So for example, with the Women in Africa Conference, how that came about is through a collaboration with a skills development and marketing agency that was really interested in doing work around the women empowerment space and to play to their strengths, but also to play to the knowledge that we have around the issue of women leadership, as well as really how do you unlock that leadership potential to help women. That is when you conceptualize this amazing event called the Women in Africa Conference. So definitely the programs are always bespoke, and that is driven mainly around, you know, sort of what are the skill sets that these organizations and resources that they have at their disposal, and how that links to the broader strategy that they'd be driving in realization of their strategic mandates or whatever other goals that they might have.
The conference itself, when is it actually happening and how can people be part of it?
Yes, so I'm super excited. So this is a one-day Pan-African online conference where we'll be connecting a number of high-impact women leaders across different industries to leaders and experts within that industry. So it will be happening on the 26th of September. So it will be fully online. So people should make sure that they have their data and you know, they can be able to join in the conference from the comfort of their own home. There will be six different industry discussions. So we'll be looking at entertainment and media, funding, startups, corporate, tech, as well as education. And super excited that there's the over seven different African countries represented joining in at the same time. So it's truly, truly Pan-African, and it's really just a hugely collaborative effort across different industries, but also across different African countries. Just to name drop a little bit, there will be representatives from Forbes Africa, SAP, BET, UCT. So it's a very, very much a jam-packed conference of just knowledge sharing, collaboration, growing your network. So that's something that we're super excited about.
I'm waiting for the names. Like, you can name drop. Tell us who's actually going to be at this event and the type of conversations that we can expect.
Of course. So we will be having representatives from very big organizations like Forbes Africa. So Karen Mundera, who's currently the Forbes 30 Under 30 list curator. We'll be having Kwena Maboto, who's the regional director for SAP. Maditi, who's currently the head of marketing for BET Africa, executives from UCT, the African Leadership University. So it's really, really, really just the largest organizations that are driving change across Africa that would be there. And mainly the types of conversations we'll be having is really to identify the issues that women are facing across the different industries, but more importantly, to empower them on how women can identify opportunities to drive inclusive growth on the leadership roles within those industries in the next 3 to 5 years. So really exciting discussions ahead.
Hope, I can imagine that in your various roles that you have sight and exposure to a number of different businesses, business people, executives, just different levels of engagement. And the question I'm quite keen to maybe get your thoughts on, because of some of the names you've just dropped, is how important has your network been in setting some of these things up, and your actual experience, you know, in corporate spaces? How has that informed your ability to put something like this together?
Sure. So I'm a person who's always believed in the power of collaboration and the power of being able to give first and then being able to get afterwards. So I think being able to have those two lines of thought has really been crucial in, you know, when I presented this idea to the different networks that I can tap into. They were willing to give, mainly because of also they believe in collaboration, but because this really is such a big problem, not just in South Africa or Africa, but across the world. But I think also just, you know, some of the topics that we'll be addressing is how women can be more sort of upfront about what their skills are, what their passions are. And in that way, when you do that, you are able to attract people who are like-minded, who also want to contribute to the same values and same causes that you are driving. So definitely my professional experience, as well as my experience now, because I work in a very pan-African organization, one of the largest in Africa, that has definitely helped me in sort of building up the panelists, but also building up the different content for the day. But one thing that I think has been the key success factor is really just collaborating with as many people and really just putting it out there that, hey, we have a vision to kind of disrupt the status quo around how unequal the world is currently, particularly for women. And I need you to kind of sign to the vision so that we can really, really, really empower the next generation of women leaders across Africa. And I think once you kind of say that even to the most important people in these organizations, they immediately get it and they want to see how they can support. So that's been quite exciting to just see how many different people recognize what an issue this is, but more so they are willing to do something about it, not just in this conference, but beyond the 26th of September. So that's been really exciting.
For people that may be thinking about how they can also get involved, someone is listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, this Hope woman really has a good idea here and I want to be part of it. I am an executive in a big company, or I run a big business, or I'm just an individual. How can they perhaps contribute or be part of it?
Sure. So I think, you know, for the general public, we are selling tickets for this event, and mainly because these tickets and all the funds that will be raised will be used to set up a fund to invest in women-owned businesses and be able to provide them with tailored support to help them grow and scale. So if you're a member of the general public and you just have 50 rand, each ticket is just 50 rand, so you can go to our website, www.superwomenhub.org, and be able to purchase a ticket. But if you're in a good position within corporate, what we have, one of the benefits from partnering with the Skills Development Agency is that if you're able to then buy tickets on behalf of the women staff, we can be able to help you get certain BEE points and skills development points. So if you are in that position, if you work in HR, but also in a managerial position, and you do believe in the dream of gender equality, then please do reach out to us, and then we can be able to also have a package where you're able to make sure that your women and your organization are able to attend, but also you do get those BEE and skills development points as well. But I think, you know, beyond the event, if anybody is also just interested in driving this mission, because it'll take a community to kind of amplify the messages around gender equality, definitely we can keep in touch, and then essentially we can look at what other programs can we drive that is very much tailored to the skills and resources at your disposal, so that we can really drive impact within this area.
This certainly sounds like something that people need to be attending, especially those for whom this issue is near and dear. This definitely sounds like an engagement that will be worth attending. But on a last point, Hope, I just wanted to get your sense. Now, there are a lot of initiatives such as the one that you are pioneering right now. And at the same time, there are a lot of conversations that are being had. At the beginning, we spoke about how many more women there are in spaces like technology. Do you feel as if there has been some progress? Are you hopeful, or do you think it's more talk than anything else?
A lot of progress, and why personally I believe that these dialogues are important for two reasons. So the first one is that women have always been told sort of a different view of what their own potential could be, and this is, you know, because it's breakthrough messages that we see on television, but other media forms, when you don't see people who look like you being represented in leadership organizations, but also being represented in a certain way on TV. So these dialogues are important to be able to expand the mind view to women of what is possible, because then they are seeing women who look like them at the very peak of success in their careers. And it sends that subconscious message that you too can do it. So definitely, I think the more we talk about it, but the more we are solution-orientated in these conversations, the more subconsciously we're really building up the next generation of women leaders. But I think as a second part of it, the knowledge-sharing sessions are also equally important, when now you have peers who are in the same industry as you, who are going through the same challenges as you, but maybe they've made progress in overcoming certain challenges, and they're able to give feedback on how you can tackle particular things in your career so that you can strategically position it for success. I am a byproduct of a lot of conversations with women and men on how to effectively navigate the specific issues that I face, and that is why now I can be where I am in my career. So definitely, I think the conversations are really important and a powerful mechanism to kind of spark change as well as spark action. But as you know, I think action is equally as important as well. So that is why for our conference, it's about how to use this as a fundraiser so that we can really channel the money to the most misrepresented founders within the context of Africa, which is women-owned businesses, and how can we then be able to also effectively support them as they scale their business, given that market access is one of the issues that affects particularly women-owned businesses. So I definitely think that these conversations will continue to be important, but then how do you follow it up with action-oriented programs that really then drive the impact home?
So progress has been made within these spaces, but a lot of work still needs to be done. That was us with Hope Ditlakanyane, who is the founder of the Superwoman Hub. They are having their Women in Africa conference coming up soon. She was just giving us some insight into what the concept was, why she came up with it. An advocate of networking and building networks, not only in South Africa, but across countries, especially in Africa, to have people, you know, expanding their reach and just tapping into different mindsets that can help you to grow and to help someone else to grow. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we're going to continue with our show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
In our COVID business watch, where we look at how different businesses, sectors and industries have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic in and around South Africa, we are featuring this week someone who started their business 1 month after the lockdowns began in South Africa, which means during the current crisis and pandemic. We went and we spoke to Shero Kanyane, who is 31 years old and originally from Polokwane, but fully based in Midrand. She holds a computer systems engineering degree from the Vaal University of Technology and currently works at Wits University as an IT business analyst. She sells health and wellness products as well as detoxing tea, energy supplements, slimming coffee, certain beauty and organic skincare products, and Total Life Changes, which is the name of the business, is based in Irene, which is in Centurion, but she actually operates from home, and this all started in May 2020. Our producer, Slindlim Sibi, went to speak to her, and we'll shortly hear what she had to say. If you're someone who is interested in the product or wants to perhaps join in the business, you can WhatsApp on 083-247-1752, or you can call on 067-192-0039. Now, here's what Cheryl had to say.
My business during the global pandemic time, because of it, was another wake-up call for me. Last December, I got retrenched. When I got retrenched, I didn't have a fallback. I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have any source of an income. I didn't have a second ways of making money, right? Okay, to cut the story short, okay, fine, got a job in March. When I got a job in March, then came COVID in the country. And I was like, you know what, girl? No one is job secure during this pandemic time, right? Because people were getting retrenched, people were getting salary cut, and I was like, boom, you know what? I'm not going back to the same frustration that I had in December. I had to find a means of making money. I had to go out there, look for something or a business idea that could generate a second income for me, right? Okay, fine. I had other business ideas, but then I was like, okay, these other business ideas, they needed more money, they needed funding. And during this time, there was no extra cash for me to find other business ideas that I had. Okay, fine. A friend told me about Twitter Life Changes, was like, do you know about Twitter Life Changes? I was like, yes, I heard about it. And she was like, okay, let me invite you to an opportunity call. Okay, fine. Attending that opportunity call on Zoom, they explained about Twitter Life Changes, the products, how you can make money out of it. I liked the whole idea, right? And I was like, okay, let me give it a try, because I once did network marketing business before, and I was doing quite well, just that I decided to take a break from it. And I was like, okay, this time around during this pandemic, let me go back and get a second stream of an income through this business, right? Okay, join Total Life Changes. Total Life Changes, we sell health and beauty products, right? So with Total Life Changes, there's this most amazing product that everyone likes, which is the ISO Detoxing Tea. So the ISO Detoxing Tea has been helping a lot of people to lose weight during this pandemic time, because of gym were closed, people were lazy, people were eating unhealthy food. So they actually needed the tea to detox, to flush out all those dirty things, those toxics that we put into our bodies, right? Okay. So the weight loss product, it actually helped. Like, it was booming. Like, I was actually making like a lot of money out of it, because of now people don't go to the gym, people are eating unhealthy, people are not taking care of their bodies, right? So I still believe that even after this pandemic, the product will still be selling itself, because of already people, they like the product. The tea is the number one detoxing tea. People, they love this tea. It's made out of natural herbs, no side effects from using this tea. Okay, so if there's anyone who wants to start their business during this pandemic time, I'm like, go for it. You don't have to wait for the day when now you have to start a business when you're just too desperate, you know. Do your researches now. Find that suitable business that you want to do. Start now. Have your plan. Write down your goals. You know, write down your plan and do it and go for it. Because we don't know when this pandemic will stop, you know. Someone is thinking, about starting a business during this pandemic time, I'm like, go for it. Why not? Because of you don't want to wait for a day when you're just too frustrated for you to start your business idea or to look for a second stream of an income. Not only just to look for a second stream of an income, but then now things are going high. Prices are going high. Our economy is trying to pick up, right? When it's trying to pick up, prices are going to be high. Would you still be able to survive? Would you still be able to afford your standard living during this hectic times? Like, we're just trying to survive. All I would just say to everyone who wants to start a business, not only network marketing business, any business that you would like to start, all I would just say to you, just go for it. Just have that plan. Just write it down. Go for it. You know, because of we don't know when this pandemic will stop, right? Okay, if you're interested in the business that I'm doing and you would like to know more about it, you're more than welcome to get in touch with me and we take it from there. Thank you.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
Our conversation around the Women in Africa conference continues. We just came from talking to Hope, who is the founder of the conference and of the Superwoman Hub, just giving us some insights into what they're going to be doing. But right now we want to switch over to one of the people that's going to be a panelist at the event. But before we get into that, remember that you can engage with us if you're excited to be part of the conference. Let us know on Facebook. We have our FM or Voice of Vits. You can also find our other Facebook page that is Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. So to continue the conversation, we're now joined by Tinyiko Simbine, who is the Chief Financial Officer and co-founder of Girl Code ZA. Tinyiko, greetings to you.
Good evening. How are you?
No, doing all right. I think just as a jumping off point, could you just give us some insight for the few people out there that don't know about Girl Code? Can you give us some insights when it was started and why you started the business?
Yes, of course. So Girl Code is a social enterprise that was started in 2014 after realization was made of the male dominance at tech events, you know, mainly hackathons, as well as in tech companies in general. So at Girl Code, our aim is basically to empower young girls and females through tech, and we do this by running a series of initiatives that are focused on teaching coding as well as robotics to girls and women of different ages.
And then from that space, we actually asked our previous guest to Hope this question. And I think there's no better time to be asking this to you now. Is in terms of the space that you're in, having started in 2014, do you feel like there's been some progress in advancing the agenda of women in the space? You know, your contribution together with others in the space, how do you feel about the progress, if any, that's been made so far?
Yes, I have to agree there has been progress. A lot of progress has been made, but obviously we haven't reached our goal as yet. But with that being said, I mean, there are several South African women, such as myself, who have made it their mission to change the perception that the tech industry is a place only for men. And we have started as well as joined initiatives like Girl Code, you know, to teach girls about coding and to inspire them to become innovators. And, you know, technology needs girls to help invent the future. Especially in a country where there are millions of unemployed young people, it's even more important to break these existing stereotypes that technology careers are too hard for girls or mainly for boys. So our work is yet to be done, but, you know, it's allowed through the different times we've been fortunate enough to actually collaborate, you know, with initiatives such as the Superwoman Hub as well, just to help bridge the gender gap in all our industries.
I think something that our listeners might really benefit from understanding is there is a stereotype that you guys are trying to break and sort of progress in terms of the spectrum of people that can be part of this world of coding. So can you give us what the initial stereotype was and where you guys wanted to actually get to?
Okay, well, historically, I mean, girls were taught that, you know, they belong in the kitchen, and subjects such as math and science weren't necessarily for them. And, you know, that girls weren't capable of building cool things like robots, for instance. And so what we are coming in to do is to basically show girls by showing them actual women who look just like them, that you are able to do this and you're able to even thrive in this industry, you know, because we've realized that who better to relate to than someone who looks just like you, you know. If you need anyone to inspire you, why not a black female woman, you know, as a young girl? And even through our initiatives, when we teach our younger beneficiaries in primary and high school, it's always best to have our female mentors, you know, take them through the various steps and syllabus that they have to learn, just so that, you know, they can better relate and better understand that this too is a world for girls.
And on that, the reason I had asked about the stereotype was then to perhaps better understand the initiatives that you guys have in place and how you've sort of structured your different programs to attack some of the prevailing mindsets to get to that progressive place.
Yes. So we have our GoCoder Club, where we teach coding and robotics to primary school as well as high school girls nationwide. So the aim of this program was just to incite that curiosity, you know, in girls. And we believe that you need to approach the girls, the younger they are, before they have been diluted with the stereotypes of this world, as well as the fears that girls generally develop the older they get. And then we also have our workshop. We teach coding to girls who are currently studying towards STEM-related degrees, as well as to females like myself, who aren't necessarily studying towards computer sciences, but who are looking to learn coding. Then we also have our VACWORK program, where we place our top-performing varsity students in corporate for a week or two to work on real-life projects. And the aim of this program is to give them a glimpse of what to expect in the real world once they graduate, you know. And then we have our largest event of the year, which is our annual Girl Code Hack. This is a fun-filled weekend where we have a group of over 250 girls come together and develop solutions based on a theme. And we usually host our hackathon on the first weekend of August to celebrate Women's Month. And this event also helps to accelerate some of the job opportunities for the females who come and attend our hackathon, because through the corporate response to the event, some of the girls actually do get hired. So this is also a form of recruitment for some of our girls. And, you know, what better way to get hired than in a space where you're actually showcasing your practical skills, especially in an industry where your practical skills matter most. But yeah, those are some of our initiatives that we run in GoCode.
There is a question that I'm now quite curious about. The more that you talk, do you have any statistics that might help us to maybe understand what some of the demographics actually look like in industry?
We have like 4 out of 5 women who study towards a STEM-related degree actually don't even end up working in the IT in the ICT sector, believe it or not. Most of them will actually become like business analysts, but they will generally shy away from the more technical roles, like being a developer or systems analyst, a machine learning engineer. So the stats are quite scary. And I mean, like I mentioned before, only 28% of the STEM fields are actually female. Is there a female representation? And of that 28%, majority of them aren't even in leadership roles as yet. So, yeah, it's quite grim. But like I said, we're here to bridge that gap, and we're working towards closing that gap daily, and we'll get there.
And as women, what advantage or what do you think women bring to the table in terms of the differentiating factor? Because I think the world is full of examples of what men can do, but you know, in terms of some of the representation that you're talking about, what do you think actually sets women apart?
Not only is there a skill shortage in South Africa, but limiting the involvement of women in ICT, in the ICT field, narrows thought and fails to achieve the diversity that is needed to successfully market and develop products. You know, technology needs girls to help invent the future. And I mean, furthermore, there are overwhelming stats that show that gender equality is not only good, it is not only good for society, but it's also good for business. And with half of the population being female, we believe that it is more important to have solutions that are designed for women from a female perspective. And our reason why we need to deliberately upskill our young girls to create solutions and new technology for themselves. And I mean, we've seen the software solutions being created of late are increasingly becoming part of our everyday lives. And these are used by girls and women too. So why not involve women as well?
Before we end off, I'd like to put you a little bit on the spot here, Tinyiko, to, you know, for our listeners that maybe have been considering this space but had shied away from it, what has your own, experience been, in the space? What actually got you interested in this world of coding? Where have you gone career-wise, that sort of thing?
Okay, well, funny enough, so I studied accounting sciences, so I'm a very non-technical, in a technical field.
Yeah.
So how I got involved in this space is obviously after working in a tech company and also realizing the gender gap, but also after one of my co-founders, who's currently our CEO, Randile Mkhwanazi, actually made the realization of the gender gap after she was working for a tech company for a few years. You know, then we came together and were like, okay, but maybe we should actually do something about this. And I've always been passionate about female empowerment. So then for me, it made sense to channel that passion towards now bridging this gender gap that we are facing currently in our country. And what I've found over the years is that it's been a hostile environment to get into, a very different one, especially because, I mean, the most technical thing that I knew was, like, Excel, you know, but it's been great, you know, it's been very challenging, it's forced me to level up on many levels, but the beauty of this industry is that, you know, there are a lot of like-minded women, and who are there to guide you, and, you know, just to help with the collaborations. And I think I've also been blessed with an amazing team at GoCode, because we have our CEO, who's more technical than I am, but she's really been a very great support structure, as well as she's provided great leadership for us to actually get into this field and for me to actually get comfortable in this field, and also agree that I have a seat at this table. So it's been a very interesting journey for me, but I love it every day, and I'm still learning every day, you know. But it's been so fruitful to be able to pave the way for others, and to also show them that, you know what, you too can thrive. thrive in this. And, you know, there's just so much opportunity for girls in South Africa, and to be at the forefront, you know, providing these opportunities is definitely one of the best things ever.
No, it certainly sounds like you've gone down the right path at a time when so many people are trying to find that purpose in their lives. So on a last point, how can people get involved with GirlCodeZA, whether it's corporates, individuals, people that maybe want to partner on programs or want to attend some of your courses? How do people get involved?
Okay, well, people can contact us through our website, so www.girlcode.co.za. You can also follow us on social media and interact with us on social media. We're on Twitter at girlcode_za, as well as Facebook, girlcodeza, on LinkedIn, girlcodeza. And we have our contact details on our website as well. So should anyone and be interested in partnering. And of course, I mean, when we have our events, we do post them and just market them very well, and everyone is pretty much welcome to come check them out just to see a little bit more about what GirlCode is about.
So you heard it right there. You can engage and interact with them online and on social media. That's GirlCodeZA. They are available. You can find their website. It's girlcode.co.za.
Yes,
and then you can find them on, she said, LinkedIn. They are available on Facebook as well. Just giving us an insight, that was Tiniko Simbine, who is the CFO and co-founder of GirlCodeZA, who is going to be one of the panelists when the Women in Africa Conference comes into effect. She was just giving us some insight into her business that they founded in 2014, trying to make sure that the gap, the gender gap is closed when it comes to the world of coding, programming, robotics, things like that, you know, trying to change those mindsets to get more women involved in some of the technical spaces. She says that it is a social enterprise, and it is something that she is definitely passionate about. So on the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
So with that, we've come to the end of today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you to Hope and to Tiniko for sharing their insights with us, particularly around the Women in Africa Conference, and as well as our GirlCode, just giving us, telling us what the state of the industry is looking like, those technical, those programming and robotics industries, and also Hope just, you know, making her move, because at the end of the day, the needle will only move as a result of a collective effort. You can't just have one person in one corner doing something. People need to be working all their various corners, their various spheres of influence and networks to make some changes and move the needle on the issue of representation, both in the workplace and business, and just opening up the minds of people to the possibility of, women conquering the world. So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. If you like the show or just want to give us some feedback, remember that you can engage with us on Facebook. We are VFM, that's Voice of Vids. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. You can also search for us on iono.fm for all our podcasts and links, and you can also find our other great content on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So thank you so much to everyone who was listening, and thank you to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kotlano Serame, together with our executive producer Glory Mabuza. Our producers Slindile Msibi, Tanto Klimba, together with Simbarashe Honde. Don't miss The Business Bus, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Also, don't forget you don't have to turn that dial, because there's more great content coming up on the VAU FM lineup. So for myself, Mdio Mob Justice, and the rest of the team, it is take care.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.